Stand by for the Terry Saul Show. Five, roll tape. Four, cue Terry. Three, bring audio up. Two, stand by. One, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance.
Good morning and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station. We are KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and I'm so glad that you're joining us. Today's special guest is going to go back a long time, about 37 years ago. Her name is Lori Poland. First of all, good morning, Lori. How are you?
Good morning. I'm wonderful, Terry. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. You and I spoke a few years ago on another radio show that I was doing there. We only had a chance to do about a 10 to 15 minute interview, but today we're going to have the full hour here, so I'm looking forward to this. Lori, we're going to go back. Actually, it was really kind of interesting because we're going to go back 37 years ago today, this very day. You were just 3 years old. It doesn't matter how old I was. You were living with your family in Sheridan, Colorado. Sheridan is a suburb of Denver, correct?
Yeah, right outside of the city.
And I was working at that time. I got out of broadcasting and decided to go into law enforcement for a while. And I was working for the Sheridan, Colorado Police Department at the time. It was our first day back. At about 10:40 or so, we got a phone call that a young girl was abducted from in front of her home. At that point, it seemed like our whole world stopped. Lori, what happened?
Yeah, so, you know, I was at home with my dad, and my dad took the day off of work. It was his birthday. He had a concert to go to with my mom that night, and, you know, we lived on this street that was, like, literally across the street from my dad's work, and it was, like, a big horseshoe. So, really, nobody came on our street unless they were coming to either one of our homes or to my dad's work, and it was just like a small little community. And anyhow, you know, it was the middle of the day, and my brother and I and my dad were all out front, and we just finished lunch, and my dad was painting our house, and my mom had just left our house to go back to work. She worked at a bank nearby, and my brother and I batted our blue eyes at our dad and asked him to get us a popsicle, and so he went inside to get us a popsicle. But while he was in there, you know, for just truly a few short seconds, this car drove up and the passenger door was already open. The guy inside said, you know, would you like some candy? And like any sugar-loving three-year-old, I got in the car and off we went. And it just happened so quickly in the middle of broad daylight. There were witnesses, there were people all around that saw it. And so, but I think there was just a lot of shock, you know, that, like, what just happened?
No, you did not know this guy, right? You had no clue who he was?
No, he was a complete stranger. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then he drove
me up to the mountains here in Colorado and found an old abandoned outhouse and abused me and then put me 15 feet below ground in the bottom of an outhouse toilet cesspit and left. And he left me there for dead. So 4 days later, I was crying for my mom, and these bird watchers happened to drive by the outhouse I was in. It was pretty run down, so the husband said, we're going to keep driving. And they drove, you know, a little ways up the road, and the wife said, turn around, let's go back. And like any good husband, he listened and turned the car around and went back, and they heard me crying and looked around, and they finally looked down. They asked what I was doing there, and I told them that I lived there.
Hmm.
And so it took a minute to get me out and get me reunited with my family, but it was a pretty grueling few days that had a lifelong impact on everybody that was touched by the story.
Sure. Lori, do you remember it? I mean, it's 37 years ago today. Do you remember, at 3 years old, do you remember what happened?
You know, fortunately and unfortunately, so as I'm a therapist now as an adult, I've been a therapist for the last 15 years, and I specialize in trauma and attachment and abuse, and so I have a clinical understanding, but I have a few physical, like, photographic memories, one of being in the car, one of being in the toilet, and one of being the man that did rescue me, came down and you know, told me to hold on. And I'd wrap my arms around his neck as tight as I possibly could.
Sure.
So those are like the three memories that I have. The other one was I had to go to the bathroom and I had just gotten potty trained. And I was so worried that my mom was going to be upset with me because I had to go to the bathroom and I didn't want to wet myself, you know.
Right,
and
right.
That's like a big deal when you're three.
Oh,
you know?
Sure.
So, but anyhow, those are my only like hard memories. And the rest of my struggle has been subconscious memory. And I have a lot of attachment issues. I have a lot of trust issues. I have this phobia of abandonment and things ending. And so, you know, I've had to do a lot of work around that, but that's like my subconscious memory. And I've had terrors and nightmares pretty much my whole life, and they ebb and flow depending on what's happening in my life. So it's been kind of interesting to see how that memory lives within me, at least all these years later.
Sure. Lori, what happened immediately after you were found? First of all, I'm sure you're aware now of the media that became involved. I mean, we had them camped out in front of our police station at Sheridan Police Department overnight, every night there until it was found. The entire state got involved with trying to find you. Well, obviously you weren't aware at the time, but since then, have you become aware that the entire state was looking for you?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is, I mean, we have letters from all over the world. The story just spread. I was not the first child to be abducted. I'm certainly, unfortunately, not been the last child to be abducted. However, I don't know specifically what it was about my case or my story or my experience that led to such a ripple effect in terms of the news and the media and whatever. And I know that so many people, like Unsolved Mysteries with Jonathan, John Walsh, I mean, he took his own heartache of his son being abducted and turned it into something good and has solved thousands and thousands of unsolved mysteries by having the show, right, that was really popular in the 90s and has continued on, you know. And as I've grown as an adult, I just shared that I became a therapist, and that's part of my way of certainly trying to pay it forward. But also, I've been a motivational speaker since I was 15, and I travel all over the country sharing my experience, strength, and hope with people so that they can have just an inkling of possibility for their own heartache and pain. And the power of that story and my experience has just continued on. You know, every single week I meet somebody that hears about what I went through and like, oh my goodness, you're that girl. Like, my life changed in this way because of your story. And I was abused, and it has, thanks to you, you've given me hope or whatever. And it's just so beautiful to see. There's always the negative, right? There's always the naysayers and the haters and, you know, people that have different opinions. But I really focus. I try so hard. I can't always do it successfully, but I really try hard to focus on the positive and see how something so tragic and so horrific can have such a ripple effect in a positive way on a community, on a state, on a nation, you know. And we see it all the time. And now with our instant connection capabilities, but it definitely was a big thing in 1983 for sure.
Lori, in the years right after that, again, you were 3 years old, and a couple of years later, you have to go to school, you have to go through all of your schooling. Did you have a normal life, as normal as it could be? I mean, were your parents there for you to try to keep you focused on, hey, this is just, Lori, go to school, be a happy girl, go to school?
Yeah, you know, I mean, my mom and dad are pretty incredible people. They, you know, they did the best that they could with what they had. They had never, first of all, they'd never been parents before, right? And I've never been a parent of three kids before either. So they did exactly what they could with what they had, and they stuck together. And I mean, they're still married, 42 years married.
Awesome.
43 now.
Your mother was not afraid to go on the media. Remember
that? My mom
was not afraid.
She was a fiery woman. She always has been, still is.
Yep.
I mean, she's a fighter, and she fought for me and fought for our family and fought for a lot of things around the way people treated children and so on, right? Like, she really is an advocate in that way. And yeah, I mean, my mom and dad, my dad especially, his goal was to give me a normal life, you know, and my mom just wanted me to be treated the way that everybody else was. And so, I mean, by the time I got into second grade, the majority of my kidnapping hadn't really, like, that was a stage, like, from 5 until 9 or 10. It's really, like, a stage where there's not a whole lot of developmental upset, right? And then you get into prepubescent and hormones change and memories change and relationships change. And you know, I've had phases in my life that were easier, significantly easier than others. When my abductor got released from prison, that was a tough time. You know, kids are hard, especially when they don't understand and when they're being informed by their parents.
He only served 6 years, is that correct?
He was sentenced to 10, and he got out in 6 for good behavior, yeah. And I was certainly not his first conviction.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Murder. Yeah, no, not at all. He got up pretty light. And we have to remember, though, that the rules in 1983 were significantly different than they are now. You know, it was more of a crime. You were sentenced to a harder crime if you harmed an animal in 1983 than if you harmed children.
Unbelievable.
So it is. It's wild. But yeah. The good thing is so many things have changed since then. And
yeah.
So many laws have been put into place and support systems and early intervention and prevention methods. And, you know, it's all of our job to do our part to try and help
Lori,
every child.
Have you had any contact with him since then, since he's been released? Do you want to talk to him? Do you want to ask him anything? Have you had any desire to talk to him?
That's a great question. For a long, long time, I did. You know, I'm an empath as a human, and so I've never once been angry at him ever. And I don't know how or why that angers a lot of people. Just that I say that out loud, but it's true. I've never been mad at him because I don't see my abduction as a horrible thing. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. And if I could go back and change it, believe you me, I would have said no. But I was 3 years old. It was what it was. And I think that I was given that experience because of who I am. For a long time, I wanted to meet him because I just wanted to let him know that I wasn't angry and that I forgave him. And with hopes that maybe he would not cause more harm. I believe that hurt people hurt others. And my thought was that if I could show him compassion and empathy, that he would, instead of feeling shameful and therefore going on to cause more harm, he would want to try and do better. And so that was my mission, right? For a long time, I wanted to meet him. My parents were always like, absolutely not, right? So they would divert my attention and introduce me to my rescuer or my doctor or whatever, right? Until I was about 22. And at 22, I had a strange incident with one of his brothers where I was able to speak with him. And I realized this family just probably isn't a family that I need to surround myself with. And so ever since then, I've just tried to do good by the rest of the world instead of them.
Wow. You're a stronger person than I am. As a father, I would think, you know what, just give me 5 minutes with this guy.
Right.
Just give me 5 minutes. And I'm sure your dad was probably thinking the same thing. Just give me a couple of minutes with him. But, Lori, we got to take a short break right now. When we come back, more with today's special guest, we're talking with Lori Polin. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. More in just a moment. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group. We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry. 2-1, you're on.
Welcome back to the Terry Saul Weekend Show. Today we are talking with Lori Poland. I've known Lori for 37 years, except I've never really met you, Lori, in person. But we've talked before. Now figure that one out, right? There's a fine how do you do. Lori Poland, as we said earlier, was a victim of a kidnapping that happened actually on this date 37 years ago today. Lori, when you have the anniversary of this each and every year, do you think about it? Is it just, it's another day and we move on?
You know, that's what's funny is I wish with all my might it was just so simple that like, oh, yep, just another date. And there have been a few years where, yeah, it was just a date. Most of them, though, usually from my birthday is the end of July, July 24th. And so usually like the week before my birthday all the way through the beginning of September, it's just a hard season for me. I get messy and I get emotive and, you know, like sometimes I get depressed and I just need like lots and lots of nurturing. And what's fortunate for me is that I have a really good community of supporters and people that love me and that have helped me identify that over the years. And so like, you know, now I know that I just need lots and lots of nurturing this time of year. So I try and do that. And yeah, but every year it's a little different.
Lori, hold on. If you just tune in with us, she was abducted in front of her home at the age of 3 years old. And she was placed in an outhouse pit in the hills of Colorado. And you were there for about 3.5 days before you were discovered by a man and woman bird watching. Now, you said that they drove past you, and then the woman, did she just have a feeling we need to go back? There's something not right here?
She just said, turn around and go back. Like, we're not going to go driving and looking for another bathroom. We're going to use the one that we just saw.
Got it.
And so they did, and, you know, we can call that fate, call that a miracle, we can call it whatever, but I'm super grateful that
it was God's work. He was going to make sure they were coming back. Do you stay in contact with them?
You know, no, I've never, I know that both of them have passed, I believe both of them have passed on. I could be wrong.
Okay.
But I've known people that knew them. They were professors on the East Coast at a college, at a university, and I've known people that were in relation to them. So it's just such a small world, right? Everybody is related to Kevin Bacon or whatever, and it's kind of like that. Like, oh, I know this person that knew you, and blah, blah, blah. It's wild how much of an impact it's had.
Do you have any contact at all with any of the law enforcement with Sheridan Police Department there at all?
There's an investigator that you mentioned that I'd love to say hello to. You know, I still, I started a National Foundation to End Child Abuse and Neglect with my doctor, my treating doctor after my kidnapping. His name is Dr. Richard Krugman, and he and I work together every day now. He was my mentor in grad school.
He was the dean of Colorado University Medical School, wasn't he?
He was the dean for 25 years, and so I was like, okay, I want to surround myself with people who are successful, and like, there's no better person than the dean of a med school. And so, yeah, he was my mentor, and we talked about child abuse and like what needs to be done for years and years and years, and we decided to open this foundation together. And so I see him, and David Jones was my treating psychiatrist. He did a forensic interview for the courts with me. He works over at Oxford University in the UK, and I stay in contact with him. The gentleman that came down into the hole, he was a volunteer firefighter. I've met him a couple times. I was a nanny for his brother and family for many, many years. So it's just interesting how some people, I've stayed in contact with, and then others I have had no contact with.
What you have done, Lori, is you've taken this thing and you've turned this around to make yourself available to help literally hundreds and hundreds of other people.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's thousands and thousands, you know, but just even by way of my speaking engagements, I love to pay it forward. And I know that everybody has a story. I've never met a human that doesn't have their own experience of something that caused them to be who they are as adults, right? Our childhoods inform who we are as people and the way we parent and the way we live. So for me, it's like I want to just introduce the concept of possibility that not everybody has to follow the footsteps of the life that they've grown to know. Not everybody has to cause harm when they're hurting. Not everybody has to live in silence with their abuse history. That's a huge one. As a culture, nobody talks about child abuse. And it just is heartbreaking.
Why is that? Why do you think that is?
You know, I think because, you know, I think it's really a generational thing. It's a cultural thing. In the 50s, nobody talked about anything, period, ever. Your business stayed inside your home, right? And then in the 60s, people started talking more and more about a variety of things. And they were a little more open with sexuality and, you know, those kind of things. In the 70s, too. And in the 80s, we started talking more about smoking. And we started talking more about LGBT stuff. And as time goes by, in the 90s, we watched suicide start being talked about. And the more we talk about things, the less fear is around them, the more understanding people have of them, the more empathy and compassion. But I think child abuse elicits a lot of shame. It elicits shame for the victim, without a doubt. It elicits shame for the family of the victim. It elicits shame for bystanders. It elicits even shame for the perpetrators. I've never met a kindergartner who raises their hand and says, when I grow up, I want to hurt my kids or hurt children. And we do know that 99.9% of people who are abusers were once abused. So it's a learned behavior that wasn't intervened upon and oftentimes was ignored. And through that shame, they've caused a lot of harm. And we can do something about that. So I think that as a culture, the more we start talking about and being okay with sharing our stories without necessarily villainizing the bad people are the people that have caused the harm, but instead just like own our part in it. Like, I'm not here to talk about or give description of anybody else's experience but mine. I'm just sharing my experience. And for some people, that looks different. And so I just do the best that I can with what I have, and that has helped a lot of people, and I'm grateful for that, and I won't stop because
good for you.
I know that it changes lives. So
we need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest, Lori Poland. And we're going to talk about what she's doing right now. And, you know, she's a mom. She's got some kids, and we'll chat about that as well. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on KSLM, AM, and FM. Stick around, folks. We're just getting warmed up.
You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on KSLM, AM, and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group.
We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
We are back. This is the Terry Saul Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and today we are talking with Lori Poland from, are you still in Colorado? You still in?
I am.
Yeah,
you're third generation native, loud and proud.
Where are you still in the Sheridan area there? Are you?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I live out in Golden, right at the foothills of the mountains. I'm
beautiful
about 5 minutes
area.
From the
beautiful
mountains.
Beautiful area. I lived there for 7 years. I lived in Denver, and I worked for the Sheridan Police Department there. And I've got to tell you what. First of all, if you're not a Bronco fan, you better get out of town.
That's
because
true.
They are definitely Bronco fans in that town. Lori is, I don't want to say a victim, because I hate using that word. Lori was kidnapped at the age of 3 out in front of her house. And the abductor kept her for however long and then placed her in an outhouse pit where she was there for 3 days until she was discovered. Have you forgiven the abductor?
You know, yeah. I mean, I was never angry at him. I've never been angry at him. And I know that alone angers a lot of people. But
why is it that you're not angry with them?
Well, because I just believe that we're all given the experiences in life that we're intended to. And so if I'm mad at him, then that means I'm mad at God. I'm not. And I, instead, the way that I look at it is I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I really wouldn't. And if I could go back and change it, I would. I would certainly take away the pain from my family,
sure,
without a question.
Sure.
However, what I do know is that I've taken a really, really tragic experience, and I have done so much good with it, both with myself as a mother, in my relationships, in my work, in the way that I live in the world, and how I show up. And I'm proud of that. And so, you know, for me, it's more of a thank you. Like, not necessarily thank you for hurting me, because that sounds horrible.
Right,
and that's not what I'm saying. But, like, I just really don't give him any of the credit. Like, instead, it's more about, this is what I went through. You go do you, and I'm sorry that you continue to cause harm in the world, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to choose to do it differently. So.
Is he still, do you know where he's at today? I mean, what is he doing? Do we know anything about him?
I know that he reoffended about 10 years ago. I don't know what his sentencing of that offense was. Like, I don't know if he got jail time or whatever. I know that he had a warrant out in Colorado for his arrest, because he was supposed to pay me kind of like a restitution, but it was through civil court, and he never did that, and he was also supposed to serve parole, and he skipped out on that. And so there was a warrant out for like 25 years, and I had decided I was going to open a ranch to help children and families who had experienced pain, and this was about 10 years ago, so I was going to go after him. Like, I hired attorneys and hired an investigator to find him, to do all of those things. And then it, like, truly, while I was doing all of this and getting all my papers together and everything, somebody had gone to the Jefferson County courthouse where the warrant was and asked for that warrant to be lifted due to inactivity. And they never contacted me, which I thought was really interesting.
Really?
But they lifted the warrant, and so he could come back to Colorado. And it was my belief at that point that he did. I don't know if he's still here or not. I don't really follow him anymore.
You don't need to.
It's just not really worth my energy.
So, Lori, you are a mom. You have three beautiful children, two girls and a young man. How old are your kids?
My oldest is 13. My two oldest are girls, so 13 and 11.
You know,
and
your headaches are about to begin.
I know, right? Honestly, like, I need to knock on something, but that, my oldest, I'm not too worried about that. My middle, though, you know, the middle is the loudest, and she, yep. Like, she's going to give me a run for my money. She already does. And then I have a 7-year-old little boy.
Who's nice. Just,
they're all so incredible and very uniquely different.
Do they know about your abduction?
They do. Yeah, they know everything, and they've known really from as far back as I can remember. I mean, I've always been very age appropriate with them in sharing the story. But for me, it's about awareness and it's about conversation, and I have no shame in it. I'm not going to be silent about it. And like, that's why I do the work that I do. And the more we talk about things, the more we can do something about that. And so I talk very openly with my children about body safety and their being safety, talking with strangers and all of those things. So they're pretty well aware, and they're really proud of their mom. So far, there will be a point where they're going to look at me and be like, I can't believe you did this.
And it's called the junior high years. Once you get into those, you know, then it's like, Mom, knock it off.
Yeah, or when they become parents, you know, like, I was the best parent in the world before I had kids. And then when I became a parent, I started judging every other parent, right? Because that's just what people do as humans, and I get that. So my kids will be there, too. Someday,
like I told
sure.
you off the air, wait to become a grandparent. Wait to become Grandma Lori. And then you're going to spoil them even more. I'm telling you. You have said that you talk a lot about this, and you don't just talk about this in Denver and in Colorado. You go all over the place. I saw you on with Megyn Kelly. I think you've been on, what, Good Morning America? Our Today Show and stuff. How is that? Are you okay going national and talking about all this?
You know, I'm okay with it. There are other people in the world that are not, and a lot of people have this, like, not a lot. There are a few, I really want to emphasize a very, very small few people who think that I should just let it go. It's been 37 years, and it has been 37 years, and my life is amazing, and I've done so many wonderful things, and I'm grateful for everything that has happened. And I'm certainly not out sharing my story to, like, get attention. The only reason I share my story is because it helps, and I hope to continue to help people. And when I stop helping, I will stop speaking, and I will stop talking about it. When people feel like they've heard enough of it, I'll move on. And that's totally okay with me, because it's not easy. Like, it takes a lot out. It takes a lot to go on national television or to fly to another state and talk for 4 hours about my experience. But every single time I speak, I gain a lot of friends. I give a lot of people hope and some sort of like North Star that they too can heal and that they can become transcenders with their own experiences, whatever that looks like for them. I speak a lot to like the helping profession, so social workers, caseworkers, child welfare workers, law enforcement, police, detectives, judges, magistrates, attorneys, you know, all of those people that are exposed to families and children that have been harmed.
Do you ever speak with children themselves? Do you ever talk in front of kids or at schools or anything?
I do, and I have. I've done a lot of speaking in schools. I've done also a lot of speaking with sex offenders, with agencies across the country that bring all of their offenders together from various counties on one specific evening, and I'll go and talk to them. And so, yeah, both of those populations, like the beginning and the end of the cycle, right? Because as I said, 99.9% of abusers were once abused. And so it's breaking that cycle and trying to intervene early with children and letting them know that there's no shame in speaking out. There's no shame in asking for help. There's no shame in saying, no, you're not bad. Just because this is happening to you, like it's giving them that North Star that a lot of times most people don't even know how to respond to.
Children should speak out, shouldn't they?
They really should. And we've seen just in the last 2 years, there have been more and more children calling child welfare or child protective services on their own parents than ever in the history, which is such a neat thing. It's sad, right? Because it's still happening, but it's still happening. And so when kids are saying, mom and dad or uncle or brother or whomever, you can't hurt me. Stop hurting me. Like, this is not acceptable. That's exactly what our kids need to do. And so empowering them to have their own voices and to seek and ask for help will break the cycle as well.
Well, after months of planning and coordinating and probably many, many conversations, in December of 2017, you launched the National Foundation to End Child Abuse and Neglect. Tell me about this.
Yeah, so the doctor that was the director of the Kemp Center, which was a program that I went to right after my kidnapping, just to do my forensic interviewing and for the courts. The director of that agency, his name was Dr. Krugman, who later became the dean of CU Med School for 25 years. And during that time, he and I had reconnected. I was doing a term paper my senior year of high school. I went in and interviewed him, and then we just stayed in contact. And I asked him to be my mentor in graduate school. And so we worked together for a number of years, and we're always having this conversation about child abuse and neglect. And he, as the dean, he had seen all of these other health issues become significantly less impactful on our society because there was dollars invested in research and education and prevention and advocacy. But there was nothing like that for child abuse. So like the American Heart Association, they have drastically improved heart disease just by way of investing in research and prevention, advocacy, and education. And child abuse, there was a study done by the CDC and Kaiser in 97 called ACEs that indicates a significant correlation between early child abuse and or adverse childhood experiences. So there's a number of questions, and the majority of them are either neglect or child abuse related. I would argue that almost all of them, if not all, are related to some form of child abuse. But anyways, but if you have more than a certain number of those, later on in life you have these health issues like cancer, heart disease, diabetes, obesity, substance abuse addiction, mental health illness. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of correlations of just diseases because the body is spending so much energy in those early years trying to fight off the trauma, and it's in a toxic stress state that it can't operate the way that it would normally operate. And when you live with those traumas in silence or within you or whatever without treatment for so many years, again, your body's borrowing the energy from the other areas like your heart and like your kidneys and like your other organs to invest in keeping that trauma at bay, like the trauma response that we're all triggered by in various situations as we age. And so there's this correlation. And Dick was like, we need to start something that will help with this, just like American Heart, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, Susan B. Komen, all of them, right? I consulted with him for a few years as a nonprofit business person. Then the board of directors asked if I wanted to be the executive director, and so I did, and we founded it, and here we are 3 years later, and it's amazing.
Perfect.
So,
Lori,
yeah,
we need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be right back with more with Lori Poland. Stick around. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM.
You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
We are back with our final few minutes. Today's guest has been Lori Poland. 37 years ago today, she was abducted from in front of her house in Sheridan, Colorado, which is a suburb of Denver. There's something out called Surviving to Thriving, Lori. What is that all about?
I was on the Today Show a few years ago, and that evening I was contacted via email by a gal who was a screenwriter, and she said, I should have contacted you 35 years ago, but I didn't. And here I am, and I need to talk to you. And so a few days later, we connected, and I thought she was contacting me about doing a screenplay. I've had people ask before, and I'd never really taken that route. But so I thought maybe that's what she wanted to have a conversation about. But she shared with me that about 6 months before I was kidnapped, she was at an ice skating arena down south here in Denver, and her brother was playing hockey, and dad was running the scoreboard, mom was with all the other parents in the stands, and just like any sporting activity, all the siblings of the athlete go off and run, you know, amok together. So they were in the dugout, or in the locker room, and a man just walked in, grabbed her hand, and walked her out, and took her to a janitor's closet where he proceeded to abuse her for a number of hours. And then they started hearing people screaming her name and whatever. And the man was like, oh my goodness, how am I going to get this girl out of here? And how am I going to get out of here? So he told her, I'm going to let you go, but you're not allowed to tell anybody or I will come back and kill you and your family. So she promised and left and refused to say anything. So fast forward 6 months, the day that I had identified my abductor in the police department, he was walking down a ramp. There's like the, you know, it's being filmed on TV, and he's walking down a ramp in handcuffs and being taken to a police car. And she is in her living room watching the TV, you know, playing, and her mom's watching the TV, and she looks up and sees him and starts vomiting and crying and saying, Mommy, that's the bad man that hurt me. They went to the DA, and the DA said, well, here's all the things that she's going to have to go through. And it's a $50 fine, and it's 6 extra months in prison. Is that worth it for you guys?
A $50 fine? That's it?
It was a $50 fine, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
And so, yeah, as a family, they made the choice not to proceed with, you know, filing a charge or whatever. But she is a screenwriter, and she's like a sister from another mister. We talk almost every single day and have for years. And she just moved back from LA to Colorado 2 months ago with her husband. And I just love her. And so we worked on a project together where we have written the screenplay. And she'd been contacted by a couple of people in the Hollywood scene. And I don't know if it will ever happen. I have no idea. We're just put it out because there was a request to do so, and then COVID hit, and here we are. So I don't know if it will be anything, but it was such a delight to do that project and work with her. And I'm working on a memoir as we speak, and I'm hoping that by the end of the year that'll be done and out and published, and we'll see where it goes.
Well, of course, for starters, when you do have that memoir out, let us know. We'd love to have you on again and chat about it. When the movie comes out, if you really want it to be realistic, you know, I took the call, okay? Let's just keep that in mind.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so
right.
I can play. I'll dye the hair back. I mean, I can I can play the part there.
Yeah, okay. We'll
okay, just keep that part in mind there.
Sure.
So, Lori, with our final 5 minutes that we have left to go there, you are going all over the country. You're a speaker. Do you think think about this a lot? When you get back to your hotel room and you lay your head down, do you think about this whole thing? Do you think about what you said, or are you too busy thinking about those three adorable children?
That's a great question. You know, and this is something I tell everybody. Like, my experience is webbed into everything that I am. It is not who I am, but it's like a thread in my quilt, and it informs the way that I live in my life. And so do I lay my head down and think about it every day? No, not at all. Am I always thinking about how I can, like, help the world and treat people? Absolutely. And every single interaction I ever have with another human being, especially children, I think about how I want them to feel when I leave that situation. And I want them to feel empowered and hopeful and loved and nurtured. And that is just the way that I live my life every single day. And I screw up and I stumble and I do somersaults, and that's not pretty, right? I really try to do right by the world. I'm always, you know, I do that in my parenting. I do that in my relationships. I do that in my work. And I just, that's how I live.
So. Lori, when you're out in public, you're out with your three kids, or you're just maybe out at one of the malls or something, walk around. Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself watching? Do you find yourself every time you see this little blonde-haired, blue-eyed, beautiful little child of 4 years old, 3 years old walking? Are you watching them just to see if there's another?
Always. Yeah, I'm always. My eyes are always open, and I can't even tell you how many times I have been a curious and loving bystander that is not afraid to intervene and to provide support and love and help. I will never tell parents what to do. I will ask parents what they need. My eyes are always open because, you know, that's what we have to do for our kids. We have to do that, and it's our job. And so I just do it, every day, all day.
What do you tell somebody? Lori, you're walking through the mall, and so you see somebody that obviously is troubled. What do you say to them? How do you get them to open up and talk to you?
Yeah, well, you know, if it's a kid, if it's a child and I see them struggling, like, the grocery store is a perfect example. There's kids screaming in the cart, and mom is, like, at her wit's end, or dad is at his wit's end, right? And they're, like, frustrated and angry, and, like, their eyes are wide but stoic, right? And I'll just walk by and say to the parent, isn't it so hard? I have been there. And just, like, do a little bit of, like, you're not alone, and you're okay. It's okay. And then with the kid, I'll be like, I know you're having a tough time too, huh? It's hard to be here in the grocery store when you want to be playing, or look at all this fun stimulation around you. And I mean, I won't use the word stimulation around them, but, like, I'll speak to the child in a really kind and loving way, which usually moves them out of, like, oh, wait, whoa, this is a different tone. And then all of a sudden, like, the energy is calmer, and like, the parent sighs, and the kid feels better. And I've done that hundreds of times. Yeah. I can't even tell you how many times.
And the parents look at you and say, would you come live with us, please?
Right. I've been asked, for sure. I've also had people say, can I just record your voice?
Lori, are you recognized? Everybody in Colorado knows who Lori Poland is. Are you recognized when you go out on the street and go to the mall or the shopping center? Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a lot of pounds bigger than I was back then, but people know my name for sure. And so anybody that hears, not anybody, but a lot of people that hear my name, or they'll ask, like, oh, I know that name. Are you? And then, yeah, and I'm a pretty open book, in case you haven't figured that out. And so, I just, like, yeah. And usually I hear their story. I don't need to tell them what I went through. They already know. And so it's usually, like, about, well, that impacted me in this way, or here's what I was doing when you were taken. And, you know, my parents did this. And so it's usually about what their experience was. And it just continues to amaze me at how much of a ripple effect this has had on the world, you know, hopefully, ideally.
I will tell you this. You affected all of our lives that were involved back at the time there. I talk about it all the time. For the past 37 years, I've talked about it quite a bit.
Yeah.
And as I told you at the top of the show here, we've talked with some of the law enforcement officers that worked the detail that still remember it like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. Lori, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, if somebody has any questions or they want to maybe book you for a speaking engagement, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, so I have a website called LoriPoland.com.
Stayed up all night thinking that one, didn't you?
Or you can also go to the National Foundation to End Child Abuse and Neglect. There you can go, you can contact us in any way. Like if you wanted me to come out and speak on behalf of NCAN, I'd be happy to do that. Or if people have questions, they can reach out at info@ncan.org. Again, that's info@ncan.org. And then, you know, it all comes to me eventually. Just one person that catches it all and then sends it on my way.
Lori, you are a remarkable person. I want to thank you again. I've got 1,000 more questions I can ask you here. Would you come back and do this with us again down the road sometime?
You name it. Absolutely. Right. I'd be delighted.
You take care. Give your family my best, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks, Terry.
You've been listening to The Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Good show.
Bye, everybody.